Sound. Whoa. It was just like the wind of the spirit. But instead of like blowing away, it seemed to be a drawing wind, like almost like sucking us into the place that we couldn't get to otherwise if it weren't for the spirit moving us in. Welcome, welcome, welcome to each of you. And welcome to those of you who are joining us, even if we can't see your faces. Make sure you write in the comments and let us know that you were here, because that blesses us so much. But we welcome each of you. But I do feel that God is saying, just come, just come, just come. I want to see you. I want to see you. And that includes you that are at home. Just come into his presence, he says. Just come. I'm here today to meet with you. I'm here to bring forth my goodness in your life. I'm here because I love having you around me. There's such a place. And Holy Spirit is here today in us and with us. Oh, Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence. We thank you that you are here, that you are here within us, walking with us, that you are the teacher, the comforter, the guide. You're leading us into places that we wouldn't know how to get to apart from you, Holy Spirit. We wouldn't know how to, we wouldn't even have the ability to hear all that's being said by the Lord. But Holy Spirit, you're enabling us. Thank you that you are the power in our lives that empowers us to embrace and take hold of all that the Lord wants for us today. For we recognize he is here and he wants to reveal himself in a greater measure. He wants to speak to us and bring forth even a greater, greater, greater place of the manifested presence. So, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. In fact, we just yield ourselves to pray in the Spirit. Let's let him have his way. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Holy Spirit is saying, let the Lord embrace you today. Let him embrace you. Let him embrace you with his love. Let his goodness prevail to you today. Holy Spirit says, just receive, receive. But Holy Spirit is also here to help us. And I'm just going to read a psalm of praise. And let this be the psalm that comes forth from our heart. And to know, oh Lord, you are worthy to receive these words. Hear the words that we say. Oh, hear what we're praising you for. It says, my heart explodes with praise for you. Yeah. Now and forever, my heart bows in worship to you, my King and my God. Oh, let's have that. Holy Spirit, help us to have that place, that our heart just explodes with praise, but it also bows in reverence. Every day I will lift up my praise to your name, Lord, with praises that will last throughout eternity. You know, as that sound went forth, as he played such a resounding and sustained sound. That's what our praise does. It goes forth in the atmosphere of this city around us. It goes forth in this place. It goes forth in far places. We just don't know what is happening with how God is carrying the sound of our praise. Every day I will lift up my praise to your name with praises that will last throughout eternity. Lord, you are great and you're worthy of the highest praise. There's no end to the discovery of the greatness that surrounds you. Generation after generation will declare more of your greatness. Lord, whatever they have said in the past, there's an increase because we have been increasingly aware of more and more of your greatness. Generation after generation will declare more of your greatness and declare more of your glory, your magnificent splendor. The miracles of your majesty are our constant meditation. Your awe-inspiring acts of power have everyone talking. We're talking about it, Lord. I'm telling people, we're telling people everywhere about your excellent greatness. Our hearts bubble over as we celebrate the fame of your marvelous beauty, bringing bliss to our hearts. We shout with ecstatic joy. We shout with ecstatic joy over your breakthrough for us. You're kind and tender-hearted to those who don't deserve it, and you're very patient with people who fail you. Your love is like a flooding river, overflowing its banks with kindness. God, everyone sees your goodness, for your tender love is blended in everything you do. Everything you have made will praise you, fulfilling its purpose. And all your godly lovers, that's us, Lord, all your godly lovers will be found bowing before you. We will tell the world of the lavish splendor of your kingdom and preach about your limitless power. We will demonstrate for all to see your miracles of might and reveal the glorious majesty of your kingdom. You are the Lord who reigns over your never-ending kingdom. Through all the ages of time and eternity, you are faithful to fulfill every promise you've made. You manifest yourself as kindness in all you do. Weak and feeble ones, you sustain. Those bent over with burdens of shame, you lift up. You have captured our attention, and the eyes of all of us look to you. You give what we hunger for at just the right time. When you open your generous hand, it's full of blessings, satisfying the longings of every living thing. You are fair and righteous in everything you do, and your love is wrapped into all your works. You draw near to those like us who call upon you. We are listening closely, and you listen closely to us, especially because our hearts are true. Wholeheartedly, we love you, Lord. Every one of your godly lovers receives even more than what we ask for. For you hear what our hearts really long for, and you bring us your saving strength. God, you watch carefully over all your lovers, just like a bodyguard, but you destroy the ungodly. We will praise you, Lord. Everyone, everywhere, join me in praising. Come on, stand up. Join me in praising the beautiful Lord of holiness from now throughout eternity. We praise you, Lord. We rejoice in you. We exalt you, Lord. We magnify you. We reverence you and celebrate you. Oh, Lord, thank you that you are smiling on us this day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I praise you in the valley. I praise you on the mountain. I praise when I'm sure. I praise it's the water, my enemies drown. champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated, with the one who has conquered it all. They obey you, Jesus. And when I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority that Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. Come on! When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. 'Cause you are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated, with the one who has conquered it all. Showing us, God, that when I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority that Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated. In the heavenly place, I am seated. In the heavenly place, undefeated. With the one who has conquered it all. Oh, you conquered it all, God. Lord, there's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free, my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living. The sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place. Fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, it's what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. We love your presence. There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of free, and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
I say to you that I am pouring out my spirit, and I'm pouring out my spirit upon you, and I am a good father, and I am giving you good things, and I am giving you even what you need, and even what you desire, and even what your hopes have been set upon. For the Lord says, my favor rests upon you. My hand of grace is heavy upon your life and upon your heart. So the Lord says, open wider, for I want to go deeper, deeper in you, for you are rooted in Christ, and your life is found inside of Him. But there are new places, new depths of His beauty, and new depths of His glory, and new depths of revelation and wisdom and empowerment that I want to bring you into. So open up and freely partake, freely drink, freely take in my presence and my glory, for it's formulated for you specifically. It is exactly what you need in this hour and in this time. It's exactly what will bring you into the next and the next. So the Lord says, drink it up, drink it up, drink it up, drink it up.
Lift your hands right now and say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
you are welcome.
You are welcome
in this place.
In this
for
place,
this temple,
this temple
is a temple of Holy Spirit.
Is a temple of
so you are welcome
Spirit.
To manifest.
You are welcome to
so manifest your glory
manifest your
in me. For it's Christ in me. The hope of glory. So manifest the glory of the Lord. Manifest healings, miracles, deliverances. Manifest the fullness of you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come now. Manifest in this body, in this temple. Let your glory fill this house. Oh, now give him glory. He's filling his house. Let him fill you right now to overflowing. There's more. There's more. Keep pressing in. Keep pressing in. There's a deep cry of the Spirit that's crying out this morning. So cry out unto the Spirit of the living God and let Him manifest His glory. Let Him manifest His fullness. Let Him manifest signs and wonders and miracles right now. For this is your portion. This is what I've given you, saith the Lord. For you are seated with me in heavenly places, and I am manifesting myself to you right now and through you. So receive, receive, receive. As you worship, keep drinking, keep receiving. For there's a fullness that's being poured out, a fullness of His presence. Just receive, receive, receive. Yeah, yeah. Oh, Rabahasha.
Just like heaven, when you walk into the room, there's not a thing that's hidden. When every eye is on you, I can't get enough of your presence. It's the perfect point of view. Isn't it just like, it's just like heaven? Isn't it just like heaven? When you walk into the room, there's not a thing that's hidden. On you, I can't get enough of your presence. It's the perfect point of view. Isn't it just like, it's just like heaven? Thank you.
Children, I have given you my heart when I died upon the cross. You received my heart then. Be aware today that you have my heart. You have my heart, and my blessings are flowing to you and through you, not just for you, but for others on this earth. Be bold, for my heart is your heart today. My heart is your heart today. Be bold in me. Be bold, and continue to take my heart that I gave you when I died on that cross. And I have risen, and I am your king. And hallelujah, says the Lord, I love you completely.
Your hands right now and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Fill me with your fullness. Manifest your love, your favor, your grace all over us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We bless you. Come on, bless them. Lift up a sound of worship. Lift up a sound of worship right now. A sound of heaven is filling in this place. Fill us. Let the sound and the worship of heaven right now begin to saturate and fill you. And give glory to the King of Glory this morning. You are high and lifted up, Jesus. King of Glory, we worship. We magnify you. We give you all honor and blessing and glory. We lift you high, King of Glory. You are high and lifted up, and we bless you. Everything in us blesses the King of Glory. Jesus, 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 we worship you this morning. Let the high praises of God ascend before you this morning, the high praises of worship. We worship you, King of Glory, King of Glory. Kararaba shandarara, orarara boso tere, orarara kere tere bo shandarara boso tore tere bo. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lift your hands and give them one more praise. Give them one more.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Give them the high praise. King of Glory. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Fill us. Fill us. Fill us today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Wow. Well, you may be seated if you can. Hallelujah. It's good to see you. It's good to be back. Wow. We were up a view of Pike's Peak the whole week we were gone. We were up about 7,000 feet and looking out my sister's windows in certain places and her neighborhood. And as we walked, Pike's Peak was there just to remind us of the bigness of God and the glory of God. A couple of neat things that happened there. When we landed in Denver, there was no snow, and as we went up to where my sister was, there was about 30 inches that fell the night before. And so what a transition. But as we stopped to get something to eat before we got to the hotel that we were staying in the first few nights, we went into the restaurant to get something to eat, and we ordered our food. It was one of those that you order it and then they pass it down and they check out at the end, and there was a family in front of us that was checking out, and our food got pushed up to their food, and so it got put on their bill. And so we turned around and said, no, that's not your bill. And the fellow turned around and said, no, that's all right, we got it covered. And we found out that his family was there, and they were part of a life group that had just come out of their a meeting. And so they wanted to bless us with our meal. And they said, no, just keep it on our bill. And we were the only ones in the restaurant, and they had maybe 15 people there from their life group. And they just came out of that. And so we had a good encounter with the body of Christ from Colorado going in. And then coming out, we were riding on the shuttle from our car. Well, I forgot to tell you, and I should have shown you a picture, but we got to the car place and we got a great deal on a rental car for a week. And it was a premium car, and we got there and they says, how would you like a charger? Well, I'm not a car guy, but we get this purple charger with yellow trim, and you know, it's got the... I says, okay, God, we were saying favor, of all guys to get a car. Some of you would like that. Just traveling through the Colorado Springs and Denver, it's 75 miles an hour, so it was fun every once in a while to just kind of step on it, and... I was real careful not to go too fast, but on the way out, we were going to the car shuttle, and there was a couple that got on the bus with us, and all of a sudden, this young man just started, he asked another couple if they went to church, and they said, yeah, we're from South Dakota, and we go to a Lutheran church, and he started witnessing to them, and he was on a campus team that was in Oklahoma. And him and his wife and his two boys. And so he just shared the gospel and turned to us. And, you know, he's sharing that. And I says, man, just preach it. Boldness. So going in and going out, we got saturated with the body of Christ. God's moving. There's a boldness coming into the body of Christ. That, man, in the restaurant and in the car shuttle in there, the body's becoming bold. And so we appreciated these young people. They encouraged us. And yeah, we can get that. And as we were singing Christ in Us, the Hope of Glory, it just reminded me, just before we left, I got a new license plate. You know, you have to change license plates in Michigan after 10 years. And so I had to get a new license plate. So I decided to put COL127 on mine. That's Colossians 1:27, in case you're figuring out. It's Christ in me. So I just want to be reminded that wherever I go, it's Christ in me. I'm a carrier of Him. And as we were singing that, I said, yeah, I like that. And so I was going to see how many of you figured that out. COL 127, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I just want to be reminded that wherever I go, He's in me. Amen. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So it's good to be back. We missed you. It's nothing like being here. We watched you online. We watched you live. And be real honest, I mean, you were good. The word was good. It was powerful. The worship was kind of tough. I know it was Steve Swanson, but it's not the same when you're in the hotel room with yourself and worshiping and praising. It was strong. We felt the presence. The word was strong. And yes. And Goshen, that was good. And the prophetic words that were ministered over you, we were just agreeing with you, so we felt the presence of God in our room, but the worship wasn't the same as being here. And so it's good to be back here. We were worshiping at 7,300 square feet, you know, above sea level, and looking up to 14,000 feet, and the presence of God was definitely there, but there's nothing like being in the presence of God with the body of Christ. So thank you. Thank you for the tech team. Everything was just great. It was just like watching that we were here, just not the same presence of the worship is being here with you. So we're excited what God's doing and what He's going to be doing this week. This is a powerful week of transition, I believe, for us, the body of Christ, because I believe we're going from glory to glory. Yes. And as I got up this morning and started walking dog and the sunshine came up. He was just saying, you're on the path of righteousness. Amen. And just like the first dawn of day, it's getting brighter and brighter. Yes. Until the full day. And that full day is the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so it's getting gooder and gooder and better and better. And this week is a great week. You say, why do you got that horse trough up there on the platform? And that's because next week we're doing baptisms. And so we wanted to give everyone that's going to be baptized in just a little picture. Well, how that's going to work, we'll just let you kind of imagine, but you'll be seated in there and we'll be baptizing you from up there. So we want to just give you a picture of what's going to be happening. Remind those that have signed up, if you haven't signed up, please sign up. We're going to ask you some shirt sizes. We have some shirts that's being produced for our baptism, but bring a towel, bring a change of clothes, okay? We will have some towels and give you some instruction here, but just give you a little preparation. You'll be contacted this week, but please sign up on the back. I believe after this morning, there'll be others that will want to be baptized.
Yes.
Because when we understand what baptism represents, it's not just that you're getting water baptized. You know, if all we read is the Gospels, We get to know who Jesus is, who God the Father is, but we don't get, and we know the message of the cross and Easter, but we don't know all the meaning behind the cross and what it actually produced those 3 days and three nights that Jesus was in the grave, what he's on the cross, what it did, and who we are in him. And so this is a great transition, because after the baptism, then we're in a process of the new creation realities.
Yeah.
And I've just been reading new creation realities, and you're a new creation if you're in Christ Jesus. Amen. All things have passed away and all things are made new. And so you're a new creation in Christ. That means that the old is done away with. And I'm not going to preach the whole message this morning because I don't know where we're going. But I just want to challenge you. Invite someone next week. People are really open right now. Invite them, especially if you're getting baptized. Invite them. People will be religious and come and honor you. And Easter is a great day for them to come, because that's the one or two days in the year that they want to just be religious and honor, you know, their religious spirit. But bring them, because we're not going to hold back next week. We're going to do baptism on Easter Sunday. What a better... There's not a better demonstration of what the cross is about. And I appreciate Mike, who's been putting it together. He says, let's put it on the platform right under the cross. From the cross to the grave. If you don't go from the cross, in this order, you don't go from the cross to the grave, you don't get resurrection power. There has to be first a death, a burial, and then a resurrection. But it doesn't stop there. There's an ascension. And so from the cross to the throne, and that's what we need to understand, that we're operating from the throne, not from the natural means or even the cross. We've been ascended and seated with him in heavenly places. Oh, I'm just excited to be back and preach. And so I told him when I came in, I said, I think I want to stay in down the hall and have breakfast this morning. It was so good and cold, but I'm warmed up now, and I think you're warmed up. I think lunch is warmed up for breakfast for the children, and the rest of you have to wait. Let's pray over the children and just bless them. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for this next generation, the generation that's behind them, because, Father, you're pouring out your spirit. And Father, your word and your spirit are coming alive. They're not just knowing stories about the cross and the crucifixion, the resurrection, but they're encountering the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And we thank you that at a young age, they're becoming, Father, saturated with an encounter with you, that your presence is the norm in life. It's not the abnormal. That, Father, at this young generation, as they taste and see that you are good, they are experiencing, Father, you right now. As the word is preached, we thank you for those that are ministering to them, that they see it not just as Father providing a service for the parents and Father just children's ministry, but Father, they're bringing an encounter of your presence. And so we thank you for all these children. Thank you for divine encounters, supernatural right now. In the name of Jesus, bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, it's good seeing a lot of the children up here this morning. So they got their work cut out, and I know, encourage them, Josh and Chase and Lola, encourage them about Christ and teach them the message of the gospel. And wow. I don't know, but that tank's... looks exciting. Well, next week is Easter again. Be praying for, you know, your loved ones. Be bold. I'm praying for a boldness for you. You said maybe I've invited my neighbor or maybe I invited a loved one before, but do it again. And do it again, you know. Keep being bold because there's something stirring. People are looking for truth like never before.
Yeah,
and so be bold to invite them. You'll be surprised how they might respond now. Yesterday it may have been different, but they're in a different situation today. They're having different encounters, and the pressures of life are just increasing. And people are looking for a real. And if Christ is in us and you're living that, then that's as real as you can get. They'll be under conviction just because of your lifestyle.
You know? Amen.
And so let's experience Christ together. Next week again is Easter. It's the end of March, and we get to go in new season and wow, resurrection life. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the joy.
Yes.
The joy of knowing you.
Yes.
And we thank you. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I thank you, Father, that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is what the kingdom of God is all about. So I thank you, Father, that the enemy wants to steal our joy, who we are in Christ. But Father, we thank you that we're standing firm. And we thank you we're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And we stand, and when we know nothing more, we continue to stand. And we thank you, these are days of great manifestations.
Yes.
Manifestations and fulfillment of answer to prayer. And so we thank you that you're touching right now, even this morning, even as we pray, Father, you're touching bodies and healing us, Father.
Yes.
We thank you for your word, that Jesus, you and your word are one. And so we thank you that your word, Jesus, is manifesting in bodies. Father, we bind stress right now. I bind the tension that's in the atmosphere, Father. And I thank you, Father, the glory of the Lord's rising up on the inside.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I say, watch over it.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, I yield to you. And I say, you direct my thoughts, you direct the word.
Yes.
And watch over the word, Father, that it will not return empty to you. It will accomplish that during the ministry of the word. Holy Spirit, you're going to bring manifestations of healings and deliverances.
Yes.
I thank you right now, Father, that we're hungering and we're thirsting for more. And you said they that hunger and thirst will be filled. So I thank you in advance that we're going to leave here filled.
Yes, Lord.
We came in one way, but we're going out another way.
Yes.
Transformed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let me start with this. If all you ever read was the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you would learn about Jesus, who he is, and he would show you the Father, and you learn about God. But all you would know is stories of the cross. You wouldn't experience the cross in all of its fullness, because it's only in the epistles that you learn what the cross provided for us. As I was studying this week and just reading a little bit on new creation realities, one of the things it said was all the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all had a revelation of the cross, and all of them wrote some 60 years after Jesus' resurrection of the cross. And so some of them had the encounter of Paul, but in the Gospels, there's no really references, maybe one or two references of Paul's epistles. Don't you think that's kind of strange? They knew Paul and they heard his epistles, but they don't quote anything that Paul's saying. It was like God said that you're going to reveal Jesus through the Gospels, but you're going to understand your position of who you are in Christ through the epistles. Now, I'm going to say something because it seems strange to us because we know this whole Bible is the Word of God. But there is a group out there that says Paul's epistles weren't illegitimate, but they don't hold standard to the Gospels. Stay in the Gospels because the Gospel is about Jesus. That's right. Stay in the Gospels. But once you encounter Jesus, then you need to know who you are in Christ.
Come on.
And the epistles, Paul's writings, tell you who you are in Christ. If you never read the epistles, you don't know who you are. You don't know what happened the 3 days and three nights. The Gospels don't tell you what happened 3 days and three nights between the cross and the resurrection. Because if you understand what happened in the 3 days and three nights, he not only died for your sins on the cross, he became sin for us, but then he was our substitute and paid the penalty for sin in the grave. He went down to hell itself and stripped the devil of his keys.
Yes.
He stripped him of his authority.
Yes.
That's what all this is going to be about next Sunday. Understanding not only the cross, but the burial and the resurrection and the ascension.
Yes.
We are seated with him in heavenly places.
Yes.
So we go from the cross with him to the throne. He enthrones us in heavenly places in Christ.
Amen.
Woo.
Amen.
And when we're enthroned, we operate in the same authority and power that Jesus operated in.
Yes.
After the resurrection.
That's right.
We're no longer victims, but we're victorious. As I was walking yesterday, they're almost the same. They start V-I-C-T. But we move from victim to victorious in Christ. And we understand that through new creation reality. So I want to start today, because if you don't understand Hebrews and the transition, you won't understand all this. And so I just want to give you a little scenario. Let's start with Hebrews chapter 2. I can't give you all of Hebrews, but I give you Hebrews chapter 2, and I want to take you this morning a little bit from the cross to the throne.
Hallelujah.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Because we're operating. You start at the cross. That's the starting place. But you don't finish at the cross or the grave. You finish at the throne.
Come on.
He's our forerunner.
Yes.
He's gone before us. As a forerunner, he's shown us the way.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So Hebrews chapter 2 in verse 14 says, therefore, and remember that therefore, you need to know what was said before that. So therefore, because of chapter 1, chapter 2, and I love chapter 1 and verse 3. It's one of my favorite. It says, and he is the radiance of his glory. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus says, if you've seen me, if you've had an encounter with me, you've had an encounter with the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what is your encounter with Jesus and the Word? Because the Word and Jesus are the same. He is the fullness of God manifesting. So if you're experiencing the Word of God, you're experiencing Jesus. If you experience Jesus, then you're experiencing the fullness of God, because Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead of deity. That's what Colossians said. I almost blew it, and I knew I missed one. I've had a scripture just drop in my spirit this week walking, and it's in Colossians 1, chapter 3 and verse 11. And it's only the last part of it, because it says there is neither Jew nor Greek, Gentile and all that. But the very last place says this: Christ is all and in all. Yes. The first thing is, Christ is all. Everybody say all. You get that? Christ is all. That means He is everything. Everything you're looking for, it's Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then it says, Christ in you. So Christ first has to be awe. You have to have an encounter with Him. And then He's in you, which is a revelation of new creation realities. That's Colossians 3. 11. I was going to start with that, but I messed up. So, okay, here we go. Chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 14. Therefore, since the children shared in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise also partook of the same. This is incredible. Think about this. He says, the children, you and I, partook of flesh and blood, natural birth, that God in heaven would come into the earth the same way you and I came in. That's mind-boggling. God, who was with Jesus, who was with God the Father from eternity, would all of a sudden volunteer to come as a baby. Because the only way into the earth is a natural birth. So Jesus submitted Himself to natural birth. Oh, God, the same way you and I came in is the same way that Jesus came. He Himself likewise also partook of the same. Whew. That through death He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. He came as a child, as you did, into the earth, became a natural man so that He might finish His mission, which is to destroy and render powerless the devil's power. Amen. I mean, that's mind-boggling. That's the gospel right there. I want to tell you, He's already rendered the devil powerless.
That's right, come on.
Quit talking about all He's doing. He's powerless.
Yes, yes, yes.
We need to shift it. We sang that song in our mouth, you know, the shout. Right. And the walls of Jericho come down. It's in our mouth. Man, if you realize the word in your mouth is a two-edged sword.
Right.
You know, I heard read a teaching, and it was Rick Renner. And it wasn't a teaching. It's my little flip calendar I got every day. And he came in on Ephesians chapter 6 and said, you know, that two-edged sword was not the big long one, it's a little one for close combat. But he says that that sword was also so that anything that got past the shield of faith, you had the sword of the Spirit. It's for close combat. It wasn't for long-range combat, that sword of the Spirit. It's for close combat. There's sometimes when the enemy gets by your shield of faith. Be real honest. Sometimes, man, it just happens to slip. He finds that. But praise God, I got the two-edged sword, and I got to get it out of my heart and in my mouth. Amen. That's a little side thing. But that He might, through death, notice, through death He might render powerless. Unless Jesus went to the cross, He couldn't make the devil powerless. Amen. Why is that? And, you know, I always remember cross immersion with a little demonstration of the guys getting up here and Jesus, and I was going to do this, and Josh said, maybe you guys would be ready. I need some young guys. These guys, okay, we'll do that. Come on up, Jason. Come on up, Kyle. Yeah, you got here. Michael, where are you? You can't hide. Okay, come on up. I know Josh is back in the room, so Scott, come on up. You get to be a part of this. Need some, one more volunteer I need. Okay, come on up, Garrett. You're a good volunteer, too. And Jacob was up here, too. Do I need six? I could use six. I can always use six. Okay. Okay. Scott, why don't you come up and stand on this top stair? And Scott's going to be God the Father. Okay. Well, let's see. Garrett, who shall we have? Garrett, why don't you be Jesus? Okay, you can be up right here on the second step. Stand right in front of Scott. Okay, and then Kyle, why don't you be Holy Spirit? And then I think Jacob, come on, you can be Adam. Okay, and I know Jason Vaughn. Did you volunteer to be Adam?
Yeah.
But I better let him be Adam. And Michael, I'll let you be the devil, okay? Okay. So, and I got to figure out what Jacob's going to be. I was going to say he could be Eve, but that wouldn't be good. Yeah. No, stand right in front of him. Everybody stand, so the perfect alignment. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, God created man in his image and his likeness. So you see, in the beginning, in his likeness, let us create man. So the us is plural, so it was Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us create man in our image and our likeness. In the beginning, God's plan was that Adam would be connected in alignment with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes. Created him in his image and in his likeness. And of course, he gave Adam an instruction, and the instruction was, you can eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. Of course, we know that Eve, and Jacob's not Eve, but Eve was tempted by the devil, but the command was given to Adam. Because he didn't communicate it well to Eve, the devil came and he tempted Eve, and or Eve didn't listen, Mike says. Mike's man's interpretation is Eve didn't listen, okay? Women's interpretation is that Adam didn't communicate to Eve. He didn't tell me. But Eve came out and said, when Satan comes and he tempts Adam, or Eve, you're not Eve, so why don't you sit down so that you're not embarrassed. We know. But Satan came and he tempted Eve and he said, thou shalt not eat of the tree or touch it. That's what Eve said. The devil came and said, you shall eat or touch. They added, there always is some truth to the word that Satan tempts you with. He knows the word better than we do. And if we don't know the word well enough, he'll add just a little distortion in there. And we'll swallow the whole lie. But Adam was tempted by the devil, so you can do whatever you want, you know. Tempted by the devil, took the fruit, gave it to Adam, and what happened? Adam was taken out of alignment. So Adam, now you go join. Whoa, yeah, some of you feel this, don't you? Now let me, I got way ahead of myself here, the power of death. But anyhow, this was God's original intention, was alignment. Adam, and when he disobeyed, disobedience is also rebellion.
Yeah, that's right.
When you're disobedient to the word, it's rebellion. Rebellion to God and the things of God entered into the earth. In this scripture, or not this scripture, but one, it says, we're going to get to it in Romans chapter 6. I really got ahead of myself. But in Romans chapter 6, because sin entered in through the one man, all became sinners. Everyone that came into the earth had the sin nature in them because of one man's transgression. Jacob's everybody else, okay? Just we're not going to put him on the spot. But look it. God had a plan. And in his plan, I don't think they kind of had counsel and said, Holy Spirit, you want to go or you want to go, Jesus? I think God, the Father's plan was, he had a plan from the beginning. He says, Jesus, my son, I'm going to send you the same way that man came into the earth through natural birth. Adam was created, but come on down. So Jesus, come on down. Where's Jesus? There, that's right. I get it in right order. So Jesus came down, became like man, and was tempted like man without sin. Because God had to find a perfect sacrifice to redeem man back to himself. And so he brought the law first to make man aware of the law of Moses. But all the law could do was reveal sin. And all that the blood of animals could do is cover sin. It never took away sin. In fact, if you read Hebrews, it says not only did it cover your sin, it covered your flesh, but the blood of Jesus purified your conscience. There was always a remembrance of sin in the law. Every year they remembered that they were sinners. And all the blood of goats and bulls and all the sacrifices animals could do is cover their flesh, but it couldn't purge their conscience. But God had a plan. He said, Jesus, you go to earth, you become man, be tempted just like he is. And Jesus was tempted, but he resisted the temptation. I thought about this because remember God the Father said when Jesus came and got water baptized, he said to Jesus, the Holy Spirit ascended. The Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Right after that, the Holy Spirit took Jesus, led him into the wilderness, and the first temptation the devil tempted was just what the Father had said. If you're really the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. The first temptation is to challenge you on your identity. When you get born again, the first thing, if you're really Son of God, he tempts you. Jesus was tempted, but he knew who he was. And he resisted and said to the devil, it is written. The way we resist temptation is with the sword of the Spirit in our mouth. Jesus didn't think it. He didn't argue with the devil about it. He knew he could change the rocks into bread. He could do the miracles, but he chose not to. But he resisted the temptation of the devil, and he fulfilled what Adam lost in the garden. Adam had all authority. But when he gave in to the rebellion, he lost his authority. But Jesus came back and is now beginning to exercise and take back the authority that Adam lost. And so Jesus came and revealed the Father to us, walked in the earth, did miracles, signs, and wonders. And then when it came, and he was only here for 3.5 years, isn't that something? And in the garden, he was tempted one more time. And he was tempted and he said, you know, if I could, I could call for the angels of heaven to deliver me from this cross. But he says, not my will. And I want to just tell you that the real battle is in your will. Not my will, but your will be done. And in the garden, he sweat, even blood, resisting temptation. And he says, not my will, but your will be done. Amen. And in that time, Jesus became the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God, which we have back here, way back there. He became the perfect sacrifice without sin. And he came to not only take man's sin from him, but become sin in himself. And to pay the price for sin, which is death. And you know, I'm just kind of reading through some of the scriptures I'm thinking about. Okay? Everybody getting this? Okay? Go to Romans chapter 6 real quick. Well, let's just do this. You guys okay standing?
I'm good.
Okay, you're good. When you know, no, I won't go there. Romans chapter 5 and leading chapter 6. You can't really read chapter 5 without verse 6. I love Colossians chapter 1. He has taken you out of the domain of Satan and transferred you into the kingdom of God. This is what happens after the resurrection. He takes you out of the kingdom of darkness and transfers you into the kingdom of God. Verse 15 of chapter 5, and you can read back this, but it says, the free gift is not like the transgression, for if the transgression of the one many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift of grace of one man, Jesus, abound to many. That's a powerful statement. By the free grit or not, but the free gift is not like the transgression. Satan's sin, we're all sin. We're born into sin. Amen. So we need a sacrifice. He says, but unlike the one man's transgression that made us all sinners, unlike that one man, Jesus, who was without sin, came, and he provided that man Jesus, Christ, abound to many. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for on the one hand the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation, but on the other hand the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. But if the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Woo. Much more. I mean, just as the transgression reigned in our life and it reigns onto death, and that death is not just physical death, but it's spiritual death, separation from God. And sin reigns in the natural man. But how much more does the righteousness of God and the grace of God reign in those who receive his sacrifice. And it says we reign in this life. So it's not just to get you to heaven. This is a complete sacrifice that sets you free so that you can reign in this life and eventually in eternal life. But eternal life is in you. It starts when you get born again, not when you get to heaven. It continues when, you know, sometimes I just like to imagine what it's going to be like in this next season. Woo! I mean, the beauty of all nature and everything. And man, just to see the beauty of the fullness of God. I don't think we can even comprehend that. I think he's given little glimpses of that, of the universe that's coming back with the telescopes and now are sending things back. And you look at those and you go, that can't even be possible. I think God has just given us a little glimpse of what we're about to enter in and experience, ruling and reigning with him forever and ever. But it's going to start ruling in him in the earth by grace and through righteousness. So notice what it says, for by one transgression, by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life, this life, through the one Jesus Christ. If we get this, it's over. We can wrap this up and get on to God's ultimate, you know, intention of glory and all that. He can wrap this up if we get this, reigning in this life through Christ Jesus. He's gone before us. He's not here in the earth, but he went before us as a forerunner. And we were raised with him, and he seated us in heavenly places, and all authority that was given to him is now given to us. And when we start operating in that authority, we'll start to reign in life. We'll start to bring things around us into the order and the intention that he wanted it to. So let's go on. So then, okay, Verse 18, let's drop down, verse 18. So then as though one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness, the cross, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as though the one man through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The law came in so that the transgression would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he asked a very important question in verse 1 of chapter 6. What shall we then say? Question mark. Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? If we get this right now, he not only delivered you from sin, but you don't have to live in it anymore. You don't have to give in to the temptations. He's already paid the price. He's become the supreme sacrifice. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Wow. So what happened? God's plan. God said, the Father, Jesus, you go to the earth. You be born in the natural means by flesh and blood. Become a baby. Grow up. Manifest yourself 3.5 years. Reveal the Father to all those that walk it. And then go to the cross and pay the price for man's sin. So now, man, come back here. Put your arms out, Jesus. And on the cross, put your arms out, man. Man and you were nailed to that cross. Whoa. He died for your sin. He became sin for you, but you were nailed with him. This is a born-again experience. He took your sin, bare your transgression, and you became one with him on the cross. You came back into relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen? So what does it say? Therefore, we have been buried with him. So lay down on the ground here. Jesus lay on the ground, buried with him. Yep, right next. No, lay same way as him. So now, what happens after you've been crucified with him? You died with him. You get buried with him. Your old nature. What do you do with something that dies? You bury it. So Jesus went to the grave. In that grave, in 3 days and nights, he paid the consequences for your sin. What are the consequences of your sin? It's death. It's separation from God. Jesus went into the center of the earth where Satan had taken the keys, and he stripped him of his authority. 3 days, 3 nights he was there. He was separated from the Father that 3 days and 3 nights. But after 3 days and 3 nights, God said, and Holy Spirit said, well, let's read it. We're doing pretty good at letting it read. For we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. So as he was buried, your old man was buried with him. Let's read again. Therefore, verse 4, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so that we might walk in newness of life. For we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. The likeness. I looked that up this morning. The likeness means in the same resemblance that Jesus did in the cross. So when you talk about Jesus being buried, it's bigger than just him being buried. We were buried with him. In the likeness of his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, for we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we will be in the likeness of his resurrection. So Holy Spirit, say, come out of the grave.
Come out of the grave.
A little more force.
Come out of the grave.
Okay. Jesus, come out. Jesus, come out. Get back in alignment. Man, Adam, you came out with him. Yep. Okay. Came out of the grave. And he was resurrected. So man is back in right standing. Amen. But they didn't stay just in right standing. Jesus ascended to the throne back with the Father. And when he ascended back to the throne, the Father said to Jesus, you sit down, so you can sit down.
Sit down.
that's good. Yeah. He learned obedience through his things he suffered. So when he heard the Father say, sit down, he sat down. And the Father said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given you. You sit here until I make all your enemies a footstool. So what happened? Now in the earth, we got the devil still in the earth. He's still bringing turmoil. But man's back in a relationship. And so we got man, and we got God the Father, and Jesus is seated, and he says, well, there's someone missing. There's not the triune unity. When Jesus was in the earth, he had the Father. He had Holy Spirit with him, and he was Jesus. So you had three. Now Jesus is in heaven. Man's on the earth. The Father says, hey, I and the man on earth, and now I'm going to send Holy Spirit to be with that man, are going to make all your enemies a footstool for your feet. So on the day of Pentecost, he sent Holy Spirit into the earth. And he says, he'll be just like me. I'll send one just like me. But not only will he be with you, but he's going to be in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah, he's going to be in you. That's good. Amen. So he restored man back to his relationship with him. But not only he restored him, but he gave him the same authority that he gave Adam in the garden to replenish the earth, multiply and replenish the earth, and have dominion over everything in the earth. He gave man back what he lost in his rebellion. Amen? You guys sit down. I'll read the rest of this while you're seated. Good job. Let's finish Romans 6, verse 5. For we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Say, united with him. Before we can be united with him in the likeness of resurrection, we have to experience being united with him in the likeness of his death. Amen? He didn't come and do a partial work. He did a full work. He died for your sins, past, present, and future. And you're going to see all this as we go through this. Verse 5. We shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6. Knowing this, that the old self was crucified with him. Get a revelation of this. When he went and died on the cross, your old nature died with him. The sin nature. He not only died and took on sin, but the whole sin nature. He became sin. For all mankind, past, present, and future. Knowing this, that the old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would... Oh, Apostle Linda's saying... Done away. Done away. Every time that that old flesh tries to rise up, say, no, you're dead. Now, I remember the illustration a long time ago. It says, you know, when you bury something, you don't dig it up and then carry it around. And that's what often we do with the old man. He's dead, but we dig it up and then we drag it around. That would be silly in the natural. Well, in the spirit, it's silly. God the Father is saying it's done away with. Jesus says it's done away with. I paid the price. Why are you dragging that old man around? Bury him and keep him buried. Then he tells you how. Knowing this, that the old self was. Notice it doesn't say is going to be. It's not a future. Was. In fact, let me read this and out of Galatians chapter 2 and listen to it real carefully, because this is what happened. I have been crucified. It doesn't say you will be crucified. Amen. It's past tense. Yes. So when you quote that, quote it. I know the King James Version says, you know, I am being crucified, but you are already crucified. That's a better translation if you look at the Greek. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. So you weren't just crucified, but you were crucified with him. And it is no longer I who live. So it's not you who's living anymore. You're dead. No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So you no longer live, but there's one living in you. And we're discovering that one who lives on the inside of us, how he operates. We're learning about the new creation realities. Because we've been taken out of one kingdom, we're put in another kingdom. We're free from the old kingdom's rules and laws, but we need to learn how to operate into the new kingdom. The old kingdom kept us in bondage. The new one sets us free. We're a victim in the old, but we're victorious in the new. I like that. Just a little tweak, you know. I was trying to think of an acronym. I have to give that to Christina, an acronym for victorious. Because we're not victims, we're victorious. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh. So it's not talking about heaven. It's talking about the new creation that God has made you and the life that I now live in the natural. I don't live like I used to live anymore. I got, woo, aren't you glad?
Yes.
You've been set free from the law of sin and death. And now he's transferred you into the law of the kingdom of God. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is now on the inside of you. You're a new creation reality. And you start walking in that new creation reality.
Yes.
We start doing this. I'll tell you, the devil is trembling. He's kept us in lies long enough and said, when you get to heaven, you're going to walk in new creation realities. When you get to heaven, you're not going to need new creation realities. You're going to be in the presence of God.
Freedom!
Wow. He lives in me and the life which I now live. If you're here, you're still in the flesh.
Amen.
But you get to choose the life you're going to live. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. This is what we're learning right now. The life of Christ is a life of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You must believe that he is and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. Diligently seek him. So I'm living a new life. It's a life of faith. It's not one in the natural. There's something more real than this natural life. It's life in Christ. It's a new dimension. It's life in the Spirit. And he's given us Holy Spirit because God is a Spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so the truth is that there's a life beyond this natural. It's a spiritual dimension. And we're now living in that spiritual dimension and bringing it into this natural life to set the captives free. You can't set those free if you're not free.
Yeah.
But when you get free, now you take that authority and you begin to set others free. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to set the captives free, to preach the good news of the gospel. He's anointed you. Amen. He paid a high price, a ransom, so that you could be free. But not just you be free, but you set others free. I'm still in Galatians 2. Okay. Galatians 2, 20. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. We're in Christ now. He's taken you out of the dominion of darkness, Satan's domain. And now He's put you into Him, into His life, and life more abundantly. Woo! I'm telling you, after we get through with Easter, we're going to go in and start to learn the new creation realities of who we are in Christ. We must first meet Him, encounter Him, and then we need to know who we are in Him. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, you know, the longer it took us to get into a relationship with Jesus, the more baggage we got. You know, I used to think, you know, the world told us, you know, the church is just brainwashing our children. We bought into that lie. And now we're paying the price for it. Yes, I'm brainwashing these children. Brainwash them with memorizing the scripture. Brainwash them before they have all the encounters and experiences and take on the bad baggage that we took on so that they can be set free at an early age. So yes, we're brainwashing them. Down there, they're learning the Word of God. They're learning how to pray in the Spirit. They're getting filled with the Spirit. You say, they're too young. No, there's no junior Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Let's finish Galatians 2. Faith in the Son of God who loved me. The first thing you encounter when you come to the cross is the love of God. The first thing you do when you confess Jesus as Lord, you experience the Father's love. And it's unconditional love. So we live a life of faith and we experience the love of the Son of God who delivered Himself up or gave Himself up for me. So who loved me, and as an act of His love, He gave Himself up or delivered Himself for me. Wow. That's the God I serve. Amen. And we're back in Romans chapter 6, wherever we are in there. I want to read through this whole thing so that you have an encounter this morning. Amen. Let's read 5 again. For we have become united. Everybody say united.
United.
It's not we're in a distance. People say, you know, when we pray, we're praying, oh God, who's out. When I hear that, I just cringe. Oh God, who art in it. God knows where He's at. I mean, sometimes we try to, you know, it's really about us. It's about our flesh. We want to let God know how much we know about Him. He must just laugh. For we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death. It starts in the cross. In the likeness of dying with Him, His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Not just in eternal life where we leave this life and we're in the heaven before the throne, but right now we're living resurrection life because we've identified and become in the likeness of His death. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin.
Yeah.
In other words, when you die with Him, you're free from sin.
Yeah.
You say, how come I sin? Because you still have a free will. And we need that will, which is part of the soul, renewed. Your mind needs to be renewed to these new creation realities.
Amen.
Are you out there?
Yes.
Without the Word, your mind can't be renewed.
Yes.
Knowing this, that the old self was crucified in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. When? Now in this flesh. Oh, what a powerful word.
Yeah.
So much of the church is waiting to get out of here. God's waiting to get in. Pray thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We pray that, but we're waiting to get out of here. You say, no, let's at least agree with what we're praying. Thy kingdom come. How's his kingdom going to come? It's going to come in those that have been become new creation in him. It's going to come in through you and me. The devil's trying to shut the mouth of the church. He keeps you in the lies. He keeps you, you know, from reading who you are in the epistles and Paul's writings. Knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead is never again to die again. Never again to die again. Death no longer is master over him. And we're in Christ, so guess what? Death is no master over me. Say, but what about those that die? Those that are in Christ that die, man, they got it better off than we do. That's what we believe. There's no more crying in heaven. You're with God. There's no more sickness and disease. But it starts here now. Now we died with Christ. We believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider. So he says, the way that Jesus does, you consider now. Even so, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Woo! Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. It's talking about the flesh. So that you obey its lust and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be master over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are under the law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or in obedience resulting in righteousness? Let me say this. Death is not just talking about this physical death. There's three kinds of death. There's physical death, and we grieve that the most. But there's also spiritual death. Those that are not born again are spiritually dead. But the worst kind of death is to die physically without having the born again experience, because that's eternal death. If you stay in that state, if we get revelation of eternal death is the worst death that you're going to die, and that hell is separation from God forever and ever, and we got to begin to preach hell again, because hell is real as much as it is as heaven.
Whether they believe it or not, that's right.
Amen. What shall we then say? Verse 15. Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves to sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And it's not bondage, it's freedom.
Yes. Yes.
Freedom to do right. That's what the cross provides you. The freedom to make right choices. Yes. The freedom to make choices not to sin. You have the power on the inside of you. He goes on to say, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity, to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness. I mean, that's what the world's experiencing right now. You say, can it get any crazier? Yeah. Yeah, it's going to get crazier. Lawlessness creates more lawlessness. But we've been set free. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Verse 21. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been free from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification. Yes. And the word sanctification is holiness. And the outcome, eternal life. The outcome. Right now, sanctification of holiness. You're walking. He's paid the price. In your spirit man, you're never going to be more holy in your spirit man. But we're renewing our souls and our bodies to line up with that. When he comes back, he's coming back for a complete man, spirit, soul, and body, without spot and without wrinkle. And then he says, but you having been free, aren't you glad we're free from sin? And enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification, holiness, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. So what happens when we do water baptism? It's an outward work of an inward, it's outward evidence of an inward work. Let me give a little instruction here because I know we have a lot of people signed up and not everybody's here that signed up to hear this message so you can pass it on. What we believe and we believe the Bible talks about is a person must confess Jesus as Lord of their life. There must be some understanding that they need Jesus and confess Jesus as Lord. You say, what about children? We dedicate children. So we dedicate our children unto the Lord that we'll raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That when they get to an age, and you know when they're age because they start to ask questions about right and wrong. You watch children. No one teaches them to cheat or lie. I'm just amazed. The selfishness. I saw twins. My sister has twin babies through one of my nieces. And the twins are 8 months old, and I was watching them play, and I thought, wow, were they selfish and rude and mean? I thought, 8 months, who taught them that? No one has to teach them that. It's instilled in them. At that, it starts to manifest. But they start to come to a realization what they're doing is wrong. And you'll start to hear them ask questions. At that point, you can show them to the cross. Until that, we dedicate them. So, you know, I know that Chase and Josh and the team down there is sharing Christ with them. But you as parents need to know if the kids are ready to confess Jesus as Lord. I believe, and I believe the Bible would address it. It's in John, that until they get to the age of accountability, if they die, I believe children go to heaven. Or God would be an unrighteous God. Because he says you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you're saved. That means that babies who can't confess with their mouth yet can't be saved if we go by that. So then they're covered, I believe, by the grace, the love, the favor of God and the blood of Jesus. So you say, well, so, you know, if they don't confess Jesus and you get baptized, it says in Mark's account, it says, believe in your heart. But if you don't believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you are condemned already. But believe. So what separates you from God is not water baptism. And I want you to follow through and read the book of Acts. Start with a first Jesus commission to say, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But when you get in the book of Acts, you see them only baptizing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that? Either they were being disobedient to Jesus or they had a greater revelation. This side of the cross, when Jesus was speaking it, they couldn't discern the cross because Jesus hadn't gone yet. But once he'd gone through the cross, the deity is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So confessing Jesus as Lord is what saves you. So baptizing in the book of Acts, you never see them baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying that's wrong. And so we'll baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and in the name of Jesus Christ. So it covers all the religious spirits that get bent out of shape. But it says baptize in the name, singular. What is the name of the Godhead that we know? We don't know. In the Hebrew, they don't know God's name, the Father's name, Holy Spirit. We just call him Holy Spirit. But we know the name of Jesus. He said, baptize in the name of Jesus. And so they had a revelation in the book of Acts that's revealed in Romans that in the name of Jesus, we're saved and delivered. So baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's the biblical Acts, but also we'll baptize in the name of the Father because you're baptized into the fullness of revelation of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we need to know that we're in Him. And not only are we in Him, but He's in us. Wow, what a powerful message. And so, you know, if with that revelation, if you feel like, wow, I know why I need to get water baptized, maybe it's different than what you remember when you got water baptized, that's fine. Just sign up. We'll baptize you again. Come, bring a change of clothes, bring a towel. We'll provide some of that. Sign up so that we know how to connect with you. Parents, you talk to your children, and you know best where they are in their relationship. If you know there's not an understanding of Jesus as Lord and died for their cross, that's fine. There would be another time. We'll have baptism. I mean, that tank is portable. We can empty it quick, and two men can carry it out, and we can bring it in. And the reason we got the tank, because it says that we're to baptize, and it's a outward evidence of an inward work, a public confession that you decided to give your life to Jesus. Amen. And you've making an acknowledgement that God has transferred me out of the kingdom of darkness, and now I'm in a new rule and reign, a new king, and the kingdom of God. And so you're doing a public confession of that. And I like in Acts chapter 2, it says, when Peter was asked, well, what shall we do after he gave his sermon? He says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, that you might be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit without being water baptized, because in Acts chapter 10, when Peter went and preached at Cornelius' house, while he was preaching, they started speaking in tongues. He says, well, they received Christ. Now let's baptize them. So it's not a matter of order. It's a matter of faith in Jesus. You must be born again. And an outward evidence of that inward work is water baptism. You're making a public confession that I've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the or the domain of darkness into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. And so talk to your children, you know, let us know. You know, being baptized again. Many of us have been baptized more than once because I think I got born again, born again, born again. I'm moving into a new revelation. But I want to say this. We identify with his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. Now, I want to read this to you in closing. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. In his substitution, we share with him from the cross to the throne. Wow. From the cross to the throne. Don't get stuck. We were crucified with him. We died with him. We suffered with him. We are justified with him. We are made alive with him, raised with him, and seated with him now. Aren't you glad? In the Spirit, you're seated with Him now. And we operate in the new creation realities from the throne of heaven, executing and bringing all of His enemies under His feet.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Father, I thank you this morning. As we enter into what is known as the Holy Week, let it not just be a week, Father, of knowing the story of the cross and the burial and the resurrection, But Father, I pray that those will have encounter what it means. They'll have an encounter, Father, that they've been crucified with Jesus. They've been buried with him, and they've been raised with him. And now they've ascended with him and are seated at the throne of God on his throne. So we thank you. This week will be a great week of spiritual enlightenment, Father. We bind every spirit, religious spirit, in the name of Jesus. We thank you that eyes will be open, Father, as there's gatherings for celebrations, Father, this week, and remembrance, Father, of the cross and the burial and the resurrection. But we pray right now that in these counters, Father, multitudes will turn, Father, and receive Jesus as Lord of their life. They'll be transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light. And we thank you. I thank you this morning right now in our congregation, Father, and those listening online, that Father, they're crying out. Many will cry out and say, what must I do to be saved? And we thank you, Father, that we must start with believing in our heart that Jesus paid the price for us, that he not only paid the price for our sin, but he became sin for us, our substitute, Father, for the consequences, Father, of disobedience and rebellion. And we thank you that, Father, this week we'll come into a greater revelation of what happened, Father, between the cross and the resurrection and the ascension, that we'll see, Father, through the reading of Ephesians and Colossians and Romans right now. We thank you. It becomes aware that, Father, we're buried with Jesus.
Yes.
That, Father, the old man has been crucified and buried. And that, Father, the new man has been resurrected, and we're walking a newness of life. We're walking, Father, in the new creation realities of who we are in Christ, that Jesus was our forerunner and has gone before us. And, Father, whatever he's done and whatever he's doing, he's, Father, bringing us up and seated us in heavenly places with him. That all authority in heaven and earth that was given to him has been given to us to bring all the enemies of Jesus be made a footstool for his feet. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, wow. So. Well, read, you know, I love one of my favorite chapters is Romans chapter 8, but you can't really walk in the fullness of chapter 8 unless you understand 6 and 7, and it will bring you into 8. So spend time this week, not just, you know, there's many great movies that tell you the story of the cross and all that, but only one tells you what the benefits of the cross and who we are as new creation, and that's written in the epistles. And I love Ephesians and Colossians, wow, you know, and Philippians and Galatians. I'm crucified with Christ. I am, or I was. I see, I'm quoting from my King James. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, good to see you. Sign up if you would like to be water baptized. We'll be making contact with you and asking you some questions. But see you next week. Invite someone to come next week. Step out of the comfort zone, a neighbor. Invite them. You know, they see you go out of your driveway every week. Tell them where you're going. And so be blessed. Just sign up on the information table. Good to see you again. We'll see you next week. God bless you.